Welcome to the Gut Church Podcast. My name is Kennedy Shear, and thank you so much for joining us. Today, we have a great word for you. If this ministry has changed your life, will you let us know? Send us an email to story@gutschurch.com.
Okay, tonight, I was excited for the opportunity to speak, and I had a message planned out, went to lunch with my wife, all is good, and she's like, what are you speaking on? And I kind of said it, and I wasn't real, excited about it. She's like, well, what do you want to speak about? I was like how good God is. She's like, you should speak on that. And I was like, hey, don't make this easy. Don't make this simple. I already have a message written. Let's go with what I already wrote. So this is plan B, which I guess was really plan A, and it's about God's goodness. I think so often in this world we hear bad news. And I love that the gospel is genuinely called the good news. Right? I mean, that's got to set us apart, especially in this time of life that we're in. You could turn the news on, and something is burning up somewhere. Something is not going right, and everybody, half the people have the idea how to fix it. The other half have the better idea how to fix it, and no one's really getting along. And it's just bad news. And the reality is we serve a good God. And let me just tell you, now more than ever, this world needs to hear of the goodness of God. And they see it in us. It's us. We carry that. We represent that. People get to see it in our life. That's the crazy thing, is we're carriers. The Bible always says we are ambassadors of Christ. Ambassadors literally just means we're representatives. If I, per se, was an ambassador of Mexico to the United States, I would represent Mexico to the United States. We are ambassadors of Christ, which means to the world, we represent Jesus. Now, how we represent all depends on us. How we represent all depends on us. And can I just tell you, if we represent the goodness of God, people are going to have a hard time not getting saved. People are going to have a hard time not turning to God, because I'm just telling you, everywhere else, not good news. Oh, the market. Oh, my gosh, jobs. Oh, my God, the housing, everything. I mean, everything just feels like it's going in the wrong direction. But I'm telling you, for believers, it's not so. We have a promise that we get to stand on, that it doesn't matter what's happening elsewhere, the word does not change. He is literally the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let's pray. God, we love you. God, we thank you so much for your word tonight, God. Our hearts are open. Our minds are open. We want to receive from you tonight, God. We want what you have for us. We thank you that you're good. God, we thank you for what you've done in our lives. Speak to us tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. All right, Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Everybody say all. Everybody say all. It's not some days. We don't get God's goodness some days. Literally, it says it's going to follow us all the days of my life. When I pray for my kids, I often pray, God, they'll walk with you all the days of their life. And as I was reading this, I thought, man, I need to also pray, God, that your goodness and mercy follows them all the days of their life, that they see that. Because they're being raised in a generation where on their phones, most of it's not good. Most people aren't sharing the most positive things, aren't posting the most positive things. So the reality is we have to represent that, especially to our kids. But man, that our prayer is for our lives and for their lives, that surely goodness and mercy will follow us all the days of our lives. Psalm 34:8, let us taste and see the Lord is good. Let us taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. Let us taste and see the Lord is good. I like that because if I see a chocolate cake, I don't know how good that chocolate cake is. And if all I ever do is see the chocolate cake, I can imagine how it tastes, but I have no idea. So if somebody asks me, hey, how good is that chocolate cake? I'm like, I mean, I'm guessing good, but all I'm doing is seeing it. I haven't actually tasted it. Once I've tasted that chocolate cake, my perception is different. The way I speak of that chocolate cake is so different because now I can give somebody a genuine experience I've had. Okay, let's go back to God. With God, right? It's different. I've tasted the goodness of God. So talking about it is, man, it's different. I speak differently because of what he's done in my life, right? I mean, we're going to reach people by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony, right? That we begin to talk about and speak of the goodness of God. Not that just that we've seen it, we've tasted it. That's a whole nother level. That's a whole nother level, right? You're watching a good cooking show and you're like, man, that looks good. But when you get to taste it, it's different. experience is different. Man, you want a vacation somewhere, you see where you're vacationing, that's awesome. You get there, you experience it, you get a taste of it, it's different. You speak differently of it, right? We have to be the people that have tasted and seen the goodness of God. Taste and see that the Lord is good. That's different. Man, there's a conviction with that. There's a conviction when you've had that kind of experience with God. Man, you just realize he's just good. He's good. You can't convince me otherwise because of what he's done in my life and what his word promises us. You cannot convince me that God is not good. And guess what the world will try to do? They'll try and convince you that God's not good. They'll blame everything they can on him. And we get so comfortable, and it wasn't until I came to Guts Church, and I heard Pastor Bill say it, well, you know, God needed them more than we did. And it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Premature death is not God's plan. And when he said that, it hit me to the core, right? He just said, no, there's an enemy, right? The enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. That's the goodness of God. That's the goodness of God. I hate when things get blamed on God that are not God. But the enemy does that because he wants to push people away. Because if they don't think God's good, they're going to have a hard time following him. If people don't experience a good God and they hear of something that's not God but's getting blamed on God, it changes them wanting to serve and live for God. If you're not expecting and experiencing the fullness of the blessings of God in every part of your life, it's time for a change. First, what we have to do, number one, we have to renew our mind. Romans 12:2 says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We have to change the way we think. As people, you've heard Pastor Bill talk about it so often. The way we think affects so much. It affects our actions. It affects us. Most of us have been exposed to environments, the kind that say you can depend on the goodness of God. The kind that says God sends sickness and poverty to teach you something for his glory. Or maybe you've believed in his goodness, but deep down you aren't expecting to taste every bit of it. Man, so sometimes we've just been in the wrong environments. You come in here and you do not hear that from this stage. You hear of the goodness of God. You hear of the healing power of God. You hear of, man, God wants to prosper you. Right? That's different. And just so you realize that, his goodness affects every area of your life. Your health, your finances, your peace of mind, your family. Like, his goodness just begins to penetrate every area of your life. And I love that, but some people, you go back to that, man, but this is what I used to hear. This is what I was taught. And we have to renew our minds. We have to renew our minds. We have to tell our minds, no, 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 that's not how it is. The Bible literally says, take every thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. What happens is we'll get sloppy in that. We'll get sloppy. Take every thought captive. I mean, if it doesn't line up with God's word, I mean, it's not a big deal. And then it begins to affect us. It begins to slowly affect us. We have to take every thought captive. So when you hear something, you're like, well, that doesn't sound like God. But someone's putting that on God. Man, go to the word yourself. Is that him? And can I just tell you, there's no substitute for spending time in God's word. You'll probably hear me say that every time I'm up here. You got to know who God is. And the way we get to know him is through his word. You got to know what his promises are. Right? I mean, I could tell you that by the stripes of Jesus you're healed. But when you read it and you read through the gospels and you see the price that he actually paid, you see that what the Son of God went through for us, not just to be saved but to be healed, you begin to see that he took these stripes on his back. Man, the Bible says he could have called down angels and he didn't. Because he was paying the price for us. But without reading that, you don't get that full experience. Someone tell it, it's like seeing it but not tasting it. It's so different. We have to taste and see his goodness. We have to renew our mind. We have to remind ourselves, God's good. God's good. God has good things planned out for me. If traditions have robbed you of the goodness of God, or if you've lived hesitant to expect all of his goodness for fear of disappointment, it's time to press the reset button. If you've been your own enemy, convincing yourself that you somehow are unworthy of the goodness of God, or at least some of it, it's not too late. I think sometimes we become that. But man, you know, like, I'm prospering in this area. Pastor Bill says that, so the faith that it takes for finance is the same faith that it takes for health. Don't allow the enemy to rob you. Like, well, these things are going good. It's not that bad of just one thing. No, 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 he doesn't get anything. Can I just tell you, when we make God first, he's first of all. Everything. It's not this balancing scale, right? It's linear. He's at the top, so everything else is affected by my relationship with God. I mean, it's just so, it's knowing, man, he's a good father. I've told this story a couple times, but I have a son, and when he was like in first grade, I had to have a pretty serious talk with him. You know, dad talk, go dad voice, everything. I get into it. It's like I'm a character, bad cop, right? And I'm just telling him. And then he says, can I ask you a question? And I'm just thinking, this could go anywhere. You know, we could be talking about dinosaurs. Like, I have no idea. He said to me, when do I get to meet my other dad? And I was like, what do you mean? He goes, some of my friends at school, they have another dad. I was like, you only have me. I'm sorry. I apologize. I'm all you get. But, it's just one of those things where it's like, because there was this discipline or this, like, correction happening, he's thinking, is there another one somewhere that's not going to do this, that maybe just gives me gifts? And it's one of those moments where it's just like, as a parent, you're, like, stunned. You're like, yeah, sorry, maybe I won't correct you again for a while because you want a whole nother dad now. But we serve a good God. We're not looking for anything else. There's no second anything. God's one. He does it for us. So we have to renew our mind. We have to be cognizant of that. And then we have to believe that we'll see. We have to, number two, is we have to believe that we'll see the goodness of God. Because what happens is we have these experiences. Things happen, or we hear of circumstances or situations which you don't know the ins and the outs, and it begins to affect us. And we allow the circumstance to supersede God's promise and God's word. Please don't ever do that. You have one place to stand on, and that's God's word. So no matter what happens, you go back to that. Not your circumstance, your situation. Why? Right? Because if not, then you keep having more of those. No. Now this has to line up with God's word. This now gets trumped, and it has to line up with God's word. Psalm 27:13 says, I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'd have lost heart. Right? Like I would have. Every time they used to read that, I used to literally think about my friend Hart. I'm like, I don't want to lose him, right? Like, I would have lost heart. I would have been discouraged if I just didn't believe that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. You have to believe that he's a good God. You have to believe there's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. That's what it says in Hebrews. You have to believe that. You have to see that. That's the only, man, it's faith, right? I mean, it's faith. Something you can't, you're believing for something you can't see. That's faith. That's what the Bible says. You have to believe it. You have to believe that you'll see his goodness. If you want to taste the goodness of God, you need to believe you'll see the goodness of God in your life. It's not enough to believe it exists. You can believe something exists without believing you'll see it in your life. The Bible literally says that demons believe and shriek, right? They believe in God. They know God's real. They just haven't submitted themselves to him, right? You can believe that something exists without believing you'll see it in your life. You need to get to a place where you're expecting it. And you cannot see the goodness of God unless you believe he's a good God. It would be hard for my kids to think I'm going to do anything good in their life if they don't think I'm good. It's hard for us as people, as believers, to believe that God's going to do anything good for us if we don't believe he's a good God. It's the basis of everything. Man, he's the best kind of father you could imagine. He's the best kind of dad. Some of you guys are great dads out there. He's so much better of a father than we could ever be on this earth. That's how good he is. And imagine what you want to do for your kids. Now, times that by 1,000. That's what he wants for us. He wants so much more for us, his kids, because he's a good father. You'll be stuck if you can't see that. You'll miss out on his goodness if you can't see that he has good things in store for you, that he's a good God. And some of you have struggled with that. I know you have. Because life happens. Right? The Bible says storms hit no matter what. You know, rains on the just and the unjust alike. But knowing that, it's different. Because when the rain and the wind hits, our house stands. Because it's built on the rock of Christ Jesus. It doesn't mean the stuff's not going to happen, but it has to line up with God's word. It doesn't get to wreck us. We wreck it. James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Every good and every perfect gift is from above. If it's good, that's God. If it's good, that's God. Please understand, God is not holding back any good thing from anyone. God's not sitting up there thinking, I'm going to dole it out when I feel like it. That's not the God we serve. Man, is there timing and things? Absolutely. I have kids and I love them. I have an 11-year-old son. I want to give him a car. If I gave him a car right now, it'd be very irresponsible of me. I've seen how he rides his bike, right? Like, it just wouldn't be good for him or anybody around him. But that doesn't mean that I don't want to bless them with it eventually. The right season, the right time. So what happens is we can become like kids and almost throw fits in our emotions because God hasn't produced what we thought he should have produced in that moment. Let me just tell you, if it's good, he's going to produce it in your life. If it lines up with God's word, he has it lined up for you. But it is time. There is timing to all this. There's timing to it, right? He doesn't want you to be begging bread, right? Poverty, he's not going to keep you in poverty. He's not going to keep you unhealthy. Those are his promises. You'll be in good health. You'll have the finances that you need, absolutely, more than enough. But there are some things that you're believing God for that it's just timing. That's all it is. That's all it is. That doesn't make him, that, like I said, as a dad, sometimes you have to hold back these things, not because you don't want to give them, because I want to. Man, I want to bless them with it, but it's just not the right time. 1 Corinthians 2:9-10. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. Doesn't that just sound like a good God? Like you can't even, your eye hasn't seen it, your ear hasn't heard it, and it hasn't even entered into your heart the things which God has prepared for those who love him. He's got so much good stuff for you. Like, goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. If you're not living that, man, something has to shift. And it's us towards God. That's it. The Bible says, draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. You have to believe that you'll see it. You have to believe that he's a good God. We have to taste and see that the Lord is good. Because we got to go tell the world about it. We have to be solid in knowing that he's a good God. He has things in store for you that you've never even dared to imagine. The Hebrew word shalom means to have wholeness in your life, spirit, soul, and body. It means you have nothing missing and nothing broken. God knows that is the way things should be, and that is the way he wants them to be, not just for a few of his people, but for every one of them. Psalms 149 says, the Lord is good to all. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Right? That's the heart of God. That's who he is. Nothing missing, nothing broken. That's absolutely his desire for us. Don't allow anything to convince you otherwise. He's a good God. Amen. We could go around this room and most of you could talk about his goodness, what he's done in your life, what he's done in your marriage, what he's done in your kids, what he's done in your business. You could go around this room and give the testimonies. And let me just tell you, share those and always point it back to God. Let people begin to get a better perspective on who God is. They see us, and we may be the only representation they ever see. I wasn't raised in a Christian home. Man, I had to get around Christians to see the goodness of God. Because in my world, it was dad's going to drug rehab, alcohol, parents might split up. That's all you saw. None of that's good news. None of that's good news. Right? As a kid, that's the kind of stuff that can break you. And then you get around these Christians, and you're like, why does everything go so well for them? Begin to really think, like, what makes them special? And the difference was they'd submitted their lives to Jesus. Can I just tell you that's it? The Bible talks about pride and humility. Humility just says, that's the reason. What you see in my life is I submitted my life to God. It's him, it's not me. Pride says, oh, I built this, I did this. And the Bible says when pride comes, great is the fall. So we get to stand and say, look what God has done in me, not look what I have done. When we see from the word that is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom and that no good thing will be held withhold from that those who walk uprightly, then we can realize God is for us and he's not against us. When we catch that revelation, then we are able to receive by faith what we need from him. At the end of the day, we got everything that you need comes from God. But you have to catch the revelation that he's not going to withhold anything from those who walked uprightly. You begin to live your life honoring God, he's not going to withhold stuff from you. He's not holding back. I just always have that mental image of people thinking, man, I hope God throws something good out to me today. That's not God. You don't know God. Because that's not how dads should be. Maybe you had a dad like that. That wasn't right. That's not how you treat your kids. And that's absolutely not how God treats his kids. He's a good God. Man, I want you walking out of here, and that's your only thought. Man, goodness and mercy are going to follow me all the days of my life. Why? Because I serve a good God. Believe it, and you will see it. Psalm 84:11. For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he uphold from those who walk uprightly. No good thing. No good thing. No good thing. Man, a healthy marriage, that's a good thing. Kids walking with God, that's a good thing. A successful business, that's a good thing. He's not withholding those things. He's not. It's not in his nature. It's not who he is. It's not what he does. Man, I'm telling you, Pastor Bill, over the last 20 years, if he's ingrained anything in me, it's that God's a good God. That his promises are yes and amen. Man, he taught me even how to raise kids. It's different. We don't raise kids like the world raises kids. Man, the sky genuinely is the limit. Because of who God is. Because of who God is. If you doubt that God is good and that you will see his goodness in your life, you will lose heart and you can even quit. If you lose heart and doubt that God is good and faithful to you, you will move in unbelief and close the door on what he wants to give you. That's the danger of it. The danger is, man, you see people walk away from God because they quit believing he was a good God. At some point, they felt like he didn't show up when they thought he should show up. And it began to affect every area of their life. Nothing hurts me more than when people who come and you see God do something amazing in their life, and then slowly but surely, they wind up outside of God's house. They wind up walking away from God. And all I think is they forgot how good God is. That's it. When we walk away from God, it's because we forget how good he is. Because I'm telling you, if you know how good God is, there's no way you walk away from that. It's like the best deal in the world falling into your lap. You've heard Pastor Bill say it's a life-for-life exchange. I give him my junk, and he gives me his promises. Like, just think about that in real life. Somebody owns a junkyard, somebody owns a mansion. We're just doing a straight-up flip. Who wins in that deal? The junkyard guy, right? Like, we're the junkyard guy. Just so you guys get an image. You're the junkyard guy. We're the junkyard guy. We give God our junk, and he gives us all of his promises. There's not a better deal on the planet. There's not. There's not anything better. Many of you know because you've maybe tried other things and it didn't work. It doesn't fill the void. It doesn't get you to where you want to go. It's a life-for-life exchange. Man, to experience, to see his goodness, you have to believe he is good. The third one, you have to receive it. Everybody say receive it. Say receive it. No good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. Right? So we know that. We've read it. We see it. It's in his word. It's promised to us. So now we got to go out and we got to live it. And we got to expect it. My kids expect that I'm going to feed them. Right? I'm a good dad. Sometimes it's a PB&J because if mom's not home, it's about all I'm really good at, you know? And you guys that can grill, props to you. I tell my wife, if it's summer, I'm not getting out there. It's too hot. If it's winter, I'm not getting out there. It's too cold. I was like, I will grill for you in spring and in fall because those are the good seasons, right? Like, but now you have these guys who have these Traegers. They're like, no, you just throw it in and you go back out 5 hours later. And I'm like, I need one of those. I need one of the throw it out there and come back 5 hours later. I could be an expert at that, just so you guys know. But it's just one of those things where it's like, you know that your needs are going to be met. To receive it, he will withhold no good thing. The verse plainly says that God is in the business of withholding things from those who live according to his word. Nothing. Once you renew your mind, you believe you'll see the goodness of God. All that is left for you to do is to receive the goodness of God. Man, don't block yourself from what's amazing. Don't think you're not worthy. Jesus paid the price so you are. I want you leaving here expecting, I think, more than you ever imagined. I mean, I didn't grow up thinking, I mean, how I grew up, you're just hoping you get a job when you graduate high school. No one in my family had graduated college, either side. We were good at jail, and we were good at factory jobs. We nailed the market on those two things on my dad and mom's side of the family. And I remember thinking one time, I don't want to do that. I didn't know what I wanted to do. I knew I didn't want to go to jail, and I knew I didn't want to work in a factory. And I remember telling my dad, I said, you worked like that, so I don't have to. And I think it was an excuse to get out of some kind of work, but I genuinely believe that my dad worked like that so that I would have a better life, just like I want to do for my kids. And I remember when I first went to college, I was just like, I'd gotten saved. And I felt the Lord said, you need to go to college. And I was like, me? I didn't like high school. Like, I don't know how college is going to work out where we have to pay for it. And I just remember thinking, okay, I'm going. And I'm telling you, I met the best friends there. I mean, it did so much for my life. But the reality was, I think God just wanted to show me that he had better for me. Man, that he was good. That I didn't have to expect what just kind of what my family had always produced. That there was more. And now I get to do what I love. I got to work 10 years in youth ministry here at Guts Church. And I just tell you, there's nothing like helping young people see their lives forever changed. Man, see them lead worship. See them grow up to know and walk with God. To see his goodness just walked out every day in their life. But I'm telling you, you have to expect it. You have to know that it's there, and then you have to receive it. It's there for you. And if you've given your life to Jesus, that's it. That's the step. I know it should be more. Like, there should be more qualifications. Like, you think anything else, there's, like, even a driver's license, you got to take a written test, and then you got to go actually drive. With Jesus, it's just, I gave him my life. I walked up one time. They gave an invitation. I walked up, and I said, I want to go to heaven. I'll do that. And it changed my life forever. One decision. One decision. Kept me out of jail. Kept me at a job that I knew I wouldn't be able to work the rest of my life. And put me around some of the best people on the planet to push me. To expect more. To be able to receive God's goodness. Our God is a good God. Yesterday, today, and forever. He is a good God. On our best days, on our worst days, he's a good God. He doesn't change. The goodness of God doesn't come and go with seasons. He's always good. He desires to bless you, heal you, deliver you, prosper you every day. So if you're a Christian and you're not living that life, something has to change. We represent him. My kids represent me. If my kids go to your house and they're rude and they make a mess, and I'm just like, yeah, I don't know whose kids those are, right? Like, I mean, I claim them. But I want my kids to represent me, whether it's in school, whether it's playing sports, whether it's when they're at church, whether when it's not when I'm not around, I want them to represent me. It's no different with God. When we go to our jobs, we represent him. When we're with our family, we represent him. Everywhere we go, we represent him. Us, he picked us. Doesn't make sense. I had to pick different people. He picked us. There's a reason you're in this room. There's a reason you're listening to this message. God picked you. Man, maybe you've never been picked for nothing. Maybe you've been picked for everything. It doesn't matter. It's cool. He picked us. We get to represent him. Let's choose to represent his goodness. Let's renew our minds. Let's believe we'll receive it. Let's expect it and receive it every day. Doesn't matter. Season doesn't matter. We don't have a string of bad days. Because we're believers. We have a string of good days because we're believers.
Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. If you'd like more information about the ministries of Guts Church, visit our website at gutschurch.com.